Welcome to Church Media HQ. My name is Luke Clayton, your host. Today, we're having a conversation with Drew Shetler. Drew is the creator of Meridium Films. He's a gifted storyteller and filmmaker. He's got a lot of insight on the power of story and video. I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. So let's get right to the conversation with Drew. Well, we are back on the podcast. Drew, you were the first guest who was on our podcast way back when we started, back when we were still called the Must Increase Podcast. Now we are Church Media HQ.
Awesome.
But yeah, so I think this is your first time back. Well, it's the first time you've been back on with new content. So the last time we recorded, we were actually there at your place. So we were kind of in studio together, and so we recorded for like a long time. And so we were able to pull from that conversation for a long time. So I think we have released something a little bit more recent than our first episode. But anyways, so this is the first time you've been on with like new official fresh content since, I guess, 2018 or whatever we recorded back then.
Right. Yeah. So super good to be here.
Yeah. No, awesome to have you.
Bringing it back.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's just get started by just kind of getting caught up with you. What's going on with you? What's going on with your company and kind of where you at on life, if you will.
Right. So with Meridium Films, we just wrapped up a big film project for Christmas, and it's amazing the turnaround from Christmas to Easter. You know, churches are wanting Easter content, and this is only 4 months compared to 8 months from Easter to Christmas than it is from Christmas to Easter. So we just wrapped up on a big film project called Still Small Voice. And then a lot of churches are really getting ramped up for, you know, a Vision Sunday or just a New Year church theme, a New Year budget, just a new wave of excitement and vision. So I've been dealing a lot with some churches, doing some work. I've actually have one church who's interested in making the Easter film themselves, like a narrative piece, and me coming alongside, helping with the script, and then coming to shoot and then edit. So that'll be fun. That's what I'm working a lot with. And then my home church, I'm doing a lot of work with them, doing some custom sermon series videos, and also some Easter work. And then, you know, been doing some corporate work with a financial advisor here locally, and of course some weddings.
Nice.
So
nice.
Just staying busy, which is good. For a while there with COVID, it was challenging just getting work. I think churches kind of just locked down, and we're still in that phase. But as far as video goes, on-site recording and video, that was pretty much non-existent for churches. So I didn't really get a lot of work, but things are picking back up now, so that's good.
Well, good, good. Yeah. I was going to ask, but you already said, you know, how kind of COVID has affected your business. Cause from what I remember, a lot of your, you know, business is kind of based on you traveling to a location and shooting footage. And then,
yes.
So that, you've kind of had to adjust in that way, I'm sure.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you said it perfectly. That's basically what we've had to deal with, a lot of on location stuff. So people who have a budget for video, like hiring someone, which is a lot of times what I do, they're not going to want to spend the money at that time. It's just not a great investment for the church or a best use of the stewardship, if you will, of their funds to bring in a guy that they might have to update that video within 6 months to a year because of the changes of COVID, people wearing masks or not, all that stuff. So I get it. I get the hesitancy of pastors. I've been trying to launch things that don't require for me to be in a service. So doing Change Life testimony videos are fantastic. You don't have to be in a certain, you're just with that individual, getting some B-roll of their life, their family, their workplace, things like that. And weddings, they don't get canceled. So people still go on with those. But with churches, I get it. And I'm trying to kind of introduce new ideas to pastors and creative pastors at their church to ways to do video and narrative film work without having to deal with COVID so much, or trying to, you know, a way to circumnavigate or circumvent that sort of elephant in the room.
Yeah, no, that's good. And you know, that, like I said, I used the word earlier, pivot. I think that's what everybody had to do when this time last year, we were like just on the brink of everything kind of starting, if you will. And so, that's cool to see some ideas there of different ways that you can serve. And so now you've done a lot of filmmaking. You're a storyteller. I think, kind of based on our conversation in the past, I'm not trying to speak for you, but I think, one of your gifts is for sure storytelling. And I think that's something you're really passionate about. Right. You talked about your most recent Christmas film. Full disclosure, I have not had a chance to watch it yet. It really is on my list to watch. But this seemed to be like a very ambitious project just from looking at the length alone. It's like a 40-minute short film, which I think is like double what anything you've ever done. Right.
Yes. Right. Yeah. I mean, it's actually 50 minutes.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure, 48, 50 minutes, but that extra 10 minutes is a lot of work. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're really stretched. You're taking your talent, your quality, your budget, and you're kind of butter on toast a little bit. You're spreading things thin, but at the same time, you're trying to keep this balance of quality with your budget in mind and everything to make a longer film that is a little bit more, you can explore the character arc more. You can explore the story, more. It's not really formatted for, you know, Instagram or YouTube. YouTube, you typically don't sit down and watch 50 minutes of anything on YouTube. Very rarely. It's usually 10-minute content or less. So it's not really formatted for that. It's more event-based, just like you would to go to a theater and watch a movie. If I paid $10 to watch a 50-minute film at a theater, I'd probably be disappointed. So, it kind of fits in a church event category that our church really love. They always are asking, like, I wish the film in films or times past, I wish the film was longer, and they were usually 20 minutes. We spend about 2-3 months putting it together that they kind of wish it was a little bit longer. So they got that this time, 50 minutes. And, I think it was a lot of, I learned a lot from it. And it was a pleasure to put together.
So yeah, that was going to be my next thing. You started to talk about it. Like, how did your church apply that, like, in the actual presentation? Did you show it all like in one piece? Was it broken up with, like, you know, singing or preaching in between segments? Like, how'd that work?
Right. Yeah. There were just only two parts. So it wasn't necessary. I mean, it was broken up into three acts, but we only played two parts. So part one was broken, and then part two was beauty. And the theme of the whole film is from broken to beauty, how God takes the broken aspects of life and creates something beautiful by his grace. And it might not always be circumstantially beautiful, but by his spirit, by his grace, that's sort of the tendency. Like, his grace is sufficient in taking brokenness to beauty. So we broke it up into two parts, and we only had a few special music. So we didn't emphasize the you know, the choir or the ensemble or some sort of worship team special. It was very minimal. We only had 3 to 4 songs. So it was much, much more emphasis on the film and the preaching. So our pastor preached after the first part about 10 minutes. And then after the second part, maybe 15 to 20 minutes, gave an invitation, and then we were done. So Christmas lends itself to more of an event based, a system where you can go watch a movie, you know, Hallmarks, that's the time when their movies get big. So Easter is very worship based. It's very, it's emphasized more on the music than it is like, let's go watch a movie. But Christmas can do that. And then you can play it on like a Friday or a Saturday or a Christmas Eve kind of event. So that's how we did it.
No, yeah, that's good. And that is a good observation there about Christmas. Christmas, many churches will have, most I would say would probably figure out some way to just make like a particular Sunday, like a featured Sunday, if you will, where they're doing something extra. But I've seen a lot of churches do even something like they add an additional event to the Christmas season, you know, instead of just having, you know, your typical, you know, Sunday services, they're going to add, like you said, some type of Friday night or Saturday night, or maybe even, you know, Sunday evening type of event where, it's centered around, you know, sometimes it's something like music or a concert. And in this case, I think it's a great idea. I think you've worked with, over the past couple of years on a couple occasions. Obviously, I think this past year was an exception because of, you know, the pandemic, but doesn't Kerry Schmidt use your films in that application? Doesn't he do like a film night or something like that?
Yes. Yeah. Kerry Schmidt has, and Lance kind of spearheads that, his son who leads their worship, but they've used the gift. They have bought, purchased Starlight and, I can't remember with Peace on Earth, though. I talk to Lance every year about using the films, and they're all, it's usually just based on where they're at. It's they want to use them, but they had like a special concert one time, and they look at it as, honestly, which is really cool, they look at it as something very special. So they want to save it. And so with COVID, they wanted to say like, oh, let's, you know, let's save this film for another, like next Christmas, to make something special. And I did talk to Lance recently about potentially making one of these films with Emmanuel Baptist Church. So with Kerry Schmidt, and they kind of put it in their budget or whatever. So we'll see what happens with that. But I think it's cool to partner with pastors that have a faith and a vision in the creative arts. To proclaim truth. So, you know, Kerry Schmidt is, you know, he's a wise man and he has a lot of influence, and it's just really cool to see him in some aspects partner alongside Meridian Films to produce some of this stuff.
Yeah. And that is key, is like you said, having some type of, having a pastor who is, who embraces that visual aspect of things. I think that every, I'm sure it's not universally true, but just about every pastor out there now, you know, sees the value in media. They see the value in the creative and the digital and the online and all this potential of taking advantage of that. But there are some that are, you know, kind of extra gifted in that area where they really see the need for that. And when you're able to find, as a creative, when you're able to find the pastor or the leader like that, it really does make things a lot easier for you as the creative, you know, on the project, because, you know, you're kind of seeing the same vision and they understand, because the biggest kickback, and you know this, that you get from, well, anyone, but churches in particular is, well, it can be very hard to get them to wrap their minds around the idea that, hey, this does have a cost to it. It is an investment. It's not something that you're going to get for free or cheap, you know, at least done right. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember one time I was talking to, it was actually, I was talking to the guy who kind of oversaw the finances at a church, and they were wanting, I got approval from the senior pastor there to get some type of budget. Like, he didn't give me a number. He just said, hey, yeah, I'll let you, you know, we'll basically give you some money to help us produce a film for, it was actually Easter. And the finance guy, he just outright told me, he was like, I just don't understand. And honestly, we were only asking for $5,000, which $5,000 is money, but it's not like, it's nothing mm-hmm. for a project like this. He just said to my face, he was like, I just cannot wrap my mind around why it's hard for me to justify putting $5,000 into something we're going to show at our church one time. And the irony is that the same guy, every year he is, like, this church is known for putting on this huge, like, fireworks display around the 4th of July. And they will spend, I mean, thousands of dollars, and literally just to burn money. I mean, fireworks are cool, don't get me wrong, but it's like, when you do that, those fireworks, they're gone. You know, I mean, you're literally, I mean, you can try to capture it on like a video or something, but like, it's not the same.
Yeah.
Where when you make a film, we're going to show it at the church, you know, this year, but this is going to be forever. You know, this is going to be archived forever. And who knows how many people are going to watch it in the future, how many other churches might use it later. And so you understand that when you, and that's what I love about film and about video, is when you invest into making it really great, it's something that's literally timeless. I mean, we can think of movies that were made in like the 50s and 60s that are still classics to this day, you know?
Yeah.
It's just going to last forever.
To that point, even like we showed Still Small Voice 6 times at our church. We had 6 services. Now they were smaller because of COVID, but typically when we show a film at our church, we have double the normal attendance. That's really good. And, you know, if you're looking at it as a financial standpoint, it's a fantastic stewardship of God's funds and a wise investment. In reason, everything's within reason. And I believe you, Luke, and myself, we've done several of these films now that we've tapped into a way to be creative and keep it within a budget that is affordable for not every church. But if you look at a church's fiscal year budget, they could do something like this. And I tried to do it for $3,500 sometimes, $5,000, $6,000, $8,000. I would say anything under $8,000 is, you can make a fantastic film with that.
Yeah, I agree.
And I have all the gear, so that helps too. Mm-hmm. You rent some stuff, but you're trying to use potentially actors that are local, whether people from your church or friends that I may have, but something on a very, you know, they're cheaper. They're not like you're hiring Tom Cruise or Harrison Ford or something. You're keeping that at a low budget. And like you said, you can play this over and over again. I think if you have an excellent strategy of how to market this film in your community, you can really see some eternal impacts that the $5,000 that you spent on it is just completely, you know, in the back of your mind that you say it was totally worth it. Spending, you know, $5,000 on, you know, something else like a fireworks display. I think that is a great thing. If you're building momentum in your community that every year this church puts that on, that makes sense to spend money there. But you can also explore other options that are maybe unconventional, but people who have done it over and over again have repeated a process. And it's like a system that we can do this for this amount. And this is typically what you'll see. It creates a lot of excitement in your church. People who don't even want to be in front of the camera can work behind the camera. I mean, it's a whole team effort. People, you know, now you're bringing so many visitors. If you're in the film at any part of helping, you're going to bring tons of people. So it's a great investment for the church.
Yeah, it really is. And to take that a step further, you know, this idea of, yeah, we're talking, you know, we've kind of been talking from the angle of one church, you know, investing in a production, which is great. And I feel like you're always going to have that, if you will, host church, you know, that one that brings you in and, you know, you use their people as your actors, as your crew. You know, that's obviously the most efficient way to do it. And at least in my experience, you know, you talk about this idea of a budget. Well, the other beautiful thing about film is, like we're saying, it's timeless. It's something that lasts forever, but it's also something that's very easily transferable. So you can take this story that you wrote and produced, and you've got this, you know, these video files essentially, and you can share them with a church, you know, across the country or even around the world. And so, you know, what has been exciting the times now. We honestly haven't produced anything significant since COVID hit. It's just not been something, to be honest with you, it's just a challenge I've not wanted to tackle. I've had a lot of other things going on as well. And so it's just not been something that, unfortunately, I hate it. It's not been on my top priority list right now, hoping that on the back half of this year, we'll kind of get back to it. But what I'm getting at is, you know, when we were producing these, you know, a few years in a row there, my team and I were putting together these short films for Christmas and Easter. Well, we were trying to get, we got like one church that was kind of like our main church, but then, hey, we got other churches to contribute and to give towards the, you know, towards the production of the film. And that's the beauty. And that's something I think that churches, can really make it. I mean, just think about it. I mean, we've got, you know, thousands of churches in the United States alone. I mean, if you could just get a fraction of those to give, you know, I mean, really what really wouldn't seem like that much to one common, you know, film. I mean, you could get a pretty substantial budget and make something pretty awesome. And so that's something.
Well, you think of like the Chosen, the largest crowd-funded, broadcasted series in the history of ever. You know, it's and it's so great. I'm actually story. I'm gonna be filming where they filmed the Chosen, like on, really? On that same set. Yeah, this Easter, and you can go rent their set. I mean, they don't own it. They film at different places, but they film in Texas. And so I mean, it's a production company that has this set, and they have costumes and everything. And if you watch The Chosen, how simple it is in one aspect, when I watch it as a filmmaker, I'm not seeing a lot of, and Dallas Jenkins, the director, is talking about how there's not a lot of big special effects. There are some, but not a lot of big ones, because they want to focus on the emotional relationship between the characters. And I think that's the key. That's what I'm trying to do, is tell stories that are real. They connect to the human heart in a way, but you're conveying a biblical worldview, some truth. And I think that's the key, is that we're not running some, you know, Mission Impossible or Fast and Furious or Avengers style action movie. And maybe there's a place for that, but we're using illustrations of the gospel, whether modern or biblical, that even Jesus gave, and conveying the emotional story, the truths behind that. And you got to have costumes, you got to have actors, you got to have a location, you got to have a script. So those things are going to cost. The things that cost a lot is the 3D tracking models, the green screens, you know, all that stuff is in millions of dollars. So we can keep that cost low if you think creatively. So sorry to interrupt there, but
no, that's great. And that is something that is a huge advantage of guys like you and myself and whatever, is that because we have been forced to work, you know, to create films on, my joke is always, I don't say it's a low budget movie. It's truly like a no budget film. you know, there have been times I have basically been said, well, here's a few volunteers to help you and, you know, whatever. And it was kind of like, I brought my own gear in, and it was like pretty much no, you know, anything I wanted to buy. Maybe I bought a few things out of my own pocket, but anyways, so yeah, this idea of we've been forced into, you know, that these very strict limitations on our finances when we come to make these things. Well, what that's done is it's like bred creativity, and innovation, and it's caused, I mean, I remember working with you on Starlight. I mean, there were some things that we did, some ideas that came out of just the idea that we're like, well, we seem kind of limited here. We can't just go buy something, you know, whatever. And, you know, but then it's like, boom, there's when an idea happens. And so, you know, like I said, you in particular, Drew, I've noticed you really know how to, you know, tell an awesome story without all of those, like you talked about, all the 3D rendering and the CGI and all of that stuff.
Trying to keep things practical.
Practical, yeah. And so, yeah, that's just something, you know, as we talk about this, you know, church leaders that are listening out there about this idea, you really don't think that, well, man, I know $5,000, you know, that's the number we've thrown around there, to, you know, $3,000 to $5,000 to budget to make some type of short film. And I know that seems like a lot to some churches, especially smaller churches out there with smaller budgets. But the truth is that if you don't have the full five, you know, it's not like you have to have all of that. I mean, whatever you can contribute, whatever you can, I mean, guys like myself, guys like Drew, we would love to help you. And because like Drew said, I mean, hey, he's got a film project right now going on. You never know what type of arrangement could be worked out for, hey, you know, we're working on this, and if you can contribute, we can also let you show it. I mean, this is the beauty of collaboration. And, you know, something, last thought on kind of this line is, you know, we see all this stuff happening out in, I think this week, you know, Disney Plus just, they just fired off this girl from The Mandalorian. Have you heard about any of that?
I have not. No.
Yeah. So I don't know if you are on Disney Plus or not, or if you've watched The Mandalorian's kind of like their big Star Wars show.
Yeah. I know. I know that show.
Okay.
I didn't know what happened with it. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's this girl who's an actor on there. She's kind of a crucial role and a character. Everybody loves the character, but she tweeted something. She's conservative. She tweeted something that obviously didn't line up with, you know, the agenda. And so she got fired. And the truth is I've seen some people that, they're like, oh, boycott Disney and whatever. Well, then, Ben Shapiro on the Daily Wire, you've probably heard of Shapiro. I mean, they come along and literally like the next day they hire her and they say, hey, we want you to produce a film and star in a film for us. And they've come from the angle of saying, instead of boycotting, you know, what we don't agree with, we're going to create stuff that we do agree with. And I think too many times the Christian's reaction to Hollywood is, we're done with Hollywood. We're not going to watch their movies. We're not going to give them our money. And maybe there's a place for that at times. But the truth is that it's, I'm not saying stop consuming that stuff, but have a part in creating stuff that you do agree in, you know, have a part in contributing to content that does line up with your values and, you know, is something that, you know, you can get behind. And I think that's so much better. It's so much better to contribute to the creation of something than to just sit around and, you know, complain about the stuff you don't like. Thanks again for joining us for this episode, and don't forget to subscribe. You can check the show notes and video description to learn more about products and services from Church Media HQ, as well as details about our guests and content contributors. Speaking of the content, if you find it helpful, please take a moment to leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with other church leaders like you. Also, be sure to check out our newest show, Connection Culture. This is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Church Media HQ is a production of the Must Increase Network. The show is edited and produced by Bo Snyder. The creator and executive producer is myself, Luke Clayton. And until next time, I want to remind you to try something new. Why? You know why. Because it's so much better to fail at trying the incredible than it is to succeed at simply doing the average. We'll see you next time right here on Church Media HQ.